Now, if you would, this morning, please open your Bibles and join me once again in the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 8, verses 16 to 21 this morning. A message I have entitled, Take Care How You Listen to the Word. Take care how you listen to the Word. Jesus here is still speaking to his disciples in verse 16. He says, Now no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it over with a container, or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a lampstand, so that those who come in may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not become evident, nor anything secret that will not be known and come to light. So take care how you listen. For whoever has, to him shall be given more. And whoever does not have, even what he thinks that he has, shall be taken away from him. And his mother and his brothers came to him, and they were unable to get to him because of the crowd. It was reported to him, Your mother and your brothers are standing outside, wishing to see you. But he answered and said to them, My mother and my brothers are those, and these who hear the word of God and do it. Beloved, as I was studying and writing this message earlier in the week, between Sunday morning worships and Sunday school and Wednesday nights and men's ministry and women's ministry and the youth ministry here at the church, I have probably delivered through preaching or teaching around over 300 messages here at GBC. And obviously, because all of them are from God's Word, they're all important. But some are more critical than others. I believe today's is one of those messages. Obviously, as the Apostle Paul says over in 1 Corinthians 15, as of first importance is the gospel. The messages that have been delivered specifically regarding the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today's, I would say, falls right behind those gospel messages. As to its importance, first of all, for me, for you, and for even for us as a church, I believe it was a critical message even for the disciples he was talking to on that day, his apostles. As they were sitting there listening to him continue on in the house. And the main point of what Jesus is getting across here is found back there in verse 18. When he says, so take care how you listen. Think about it. The word so there tells us this is involved with verses 16 and 17. And then the next word after that, the word for, tells you it continues on the rest of verse 18. And then in verse 19, where Luke then adds in this story and event that happened, he's continuing to teach the same message revolving around taking care how you listen. That is, how you listen to the Word of God. In fact, really, if you go back and think back through verses 4 through 21, it's been about how a person or how a people hear and listen to the Word of God. Look back in verse 8 for a moment when Jesus says, He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Throughout the parable, Jesus kept talking about those who have heard in verse 12. Verse 13, when they hear. Verse 14, those who have heard, the ones who have heard. Verse 15, these are the ones who have heard the word. And then now he's talking about take care how you listen. And then it's closed out by Luke in verse 21. Those who hear the word of God and do it. Beloved, if God has given you the ears to hear, Jesus is wanting them and us to know how to listen rightly to the word of God. How am I supposed to listen to God's word? As I said, Jesus here is speaking, I believe, to his disciples. So So he's speaking to those whom he has given the full explanation of the parables. And he's talking to them. And in some sense, he's warning them, you need to take care how you listen as well. Which means this is for us as believers, as disciples of Christ. Now there in verse 18, when he says, so take care. That's just one word in the Greek language. And it's an imperative. It's in the present tense, which he's saying, there's a sense of urgency that I'm giving you, men, that needs to continue throughout. That as you take care, you take heed, you make sure it's a priority in your life, that you're paying attention to what it is that you're listening to, what it is that's really being revealed to you, what you're coming to understand, and how you use it. Essentially, the same word is used by the Lord Jesus a little later on in the Gospel of Luke, in Luke chapter 21, in verse 8, when he's talking more about some things to come, and he says, see to it. It's the same word. Take heed that you're not misled. He says, because there's going to be many that were going to be coming in my name, saying, I am he, the time is near. It says, don't go after them. Why? Because you have to make sure you make it a priority and a responsibility in your heart and in your life that you are not misled. And the way you do that is you make sure of how it is you're listening to the Word of God. What's very interesting to me about this is this same occasion over in the Gospel of Mark, in Mark chapter 4, Jesus also said in verse 24, take care what you listen to. And I think that has been emphasized often to us growing up in the church. It has been emphasized, it matters what you listen to, who you're listening to. But I also want you to notice, on the same occasion, Jesus didn't just tell them, take care what you listen to. He then follows it up and says, and you need to also take care how you listen. That is, it matters to me how you listen. Just because you listen to what is right, he says, that doesn't mean you're not listening how you're supposed to be listening to what's being taught. I think we as parents can understand this concept. We're obviously concerned with what our kids listen to, what they're being taught, but we're also concerned with how they are listening. I mean, especially to us as parents. I mean, we want to make sure that our kids are listening to what we're saying in such a way that it's sinking in. It's shaping their thinking. It's shaping their life. It's beginning to show up in their life. It's not enough for us just to say, well, we know what they listen to because we were the ones parenting them and giving them the instructions. But it's just as important to us to how are they listening to what we're saying. This would go for us even as pastors. Obviously, as pastors care about what their people are listening to, who it is they're listening to, but they're also concerned with how are the people listening? How are they listening to what they're hearing? Jesus here is giving us three ways to know if we're listening properly, or three ways to listen properly, if you want to say. That we're obeying this command of taking heed to how we are listening. And I want to begin to go through those, and let's go back to verse 16. And this is first, just look at the proverb that Jesus gives. This is a proverb he gives more than one time, and oftentimes he gives it to teach a different lesson. The proverb there is, he says, now no one after lighting a lamp covers it over with a container or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a lampstand. Again, this would have been made very sense to them in their day. They don't have electricity like we have. So if today we were gathered here with no electricity and the only thing we could have is lamps and we were to light lamps, if we were wanting to have something so that we could see, we wouldn't go light the lamps and then go put them back here in these rooms. Because what good would that do? It would do us no good at all. And here in this idea of lighting a lamp, in the picture that Jesus is painting for them and he's painting for us, he's talking about the Word of God. He's talking about when the Word of God is taught and when you are given explanation and the Spirit of God is giving you understanding, what are you then doing with that? How are you listening to that? And really, in some sense, how is it impacting your life? And Jesus is saying, take care how you listen to it. And the reason why he's really saying take care how you listen to it, because ultimately he's saying it's because you are now accountable for it. You're accountable for it. So how should we listen to the Word of God? Well, first off, I believe Jesus here is teaching. We take care how we're listening when we're letting the Word of God penetrate our life. Penetrate and permeate throughout our whole life. That is the truth that we hear and when we read and when we study, is it penetrating into the depths of who we are, and then is it going throughout all of our life, our heart, our soul? Because notice what he says, after you light a lamp, you don't want to cover it up. You don't want to come put a container over it. You're not going to go put it under your bed. You want to have it out. And the reason why you want to have it out is because you want that light to shine and to go to all the places where it needs to go. And he's warning them, as he's warning us even today, is that when we're listening to the Word of God, you're going to have to fight sometimes that you want to avoid what is being said. You want to avoid the truth that's coming forward. We want to kind of cover it up. We want to kind of hide from it. But he's saying, no, let first the light of the gospel and of the truth that is being taught, let it first shine brightly in your heart, in your life, even in the hidden places of your heart, in the secret places of your life. Beloved, may I remind you, even as he says there in verse 16, for nothing's hidden that will not become evident and nothing secret that will not be known or won't come to light. We know what Scripture teaches us. Everything is going to come out one day. For believers, it's all going to come out for us at the judgment seat of Christ. For unbelievers, it's going to come out at the great white throne judgment. As the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 5, that when the Lord comes, he will both bring to light the things that have been hidden in the darkness, and it will even disclose the motives of men's heart. He's going to go down to the very core of everything about us. Beloved, please always remember, God himself, Jesus himself, already sees the hidden and the secret. There's nothing hidden from his eyes. There's no secret place that you can go and get away from his presence, from his knowledge, from his eyes. He knows about them all. So when you read or listen to the truth being proclaimed, and the Spirit of God shines the light of that truth into your heart and into your life, and may bring some conviction into your heart and life, and may shine and go into certain places that you try to avoid and try to let everybody else avoid with you. He's exposing it. And may I remind you, he's exposing it out of grace. That is an act of God's grace. It is an act of his grace That's why you want God's grace in your life, then you want the lamp of the Word of God. You want it shining in your life. You want to put yourself in a place where it's going to continually be shining in you. Why? Because as it does it, it's giving you grace. God is not doing that just to make you feel bad. He's not doing that just to make you feel guilty and sitting up there clapping, oh, I got him to feel real bad, and that's what I wanted. That might be what the devil wants, but that's not what God wants. God wants us to have conviction and guilt about things. He wants to expose those things because then we can come and confess those things. And it says his blood is there to forgive us of all of our sins. So don't hide from it. Don't run from it. Run to it. I would just say this, beloved, we ought to all be running to the light. Why? Because everything's going to come to light one day. So let's go ahead and deal with it in our hearts and our life. There may be things, no doubt, in everybody here that no one else knows except you and God. But never forget, God knows. And when God's word is bringing conviction and exposing, is an expression of his love for us. And beloved, sometimes when we won't listen to him properly, and we keep ignoring him about the things in our life, he may choose to expose it in another way. So take care, as Jesus says, that you're first hearing the word of God. And here's the way I would say that when you listen to the preaching and the teaching of the word of God, or when you read your Bible, the first way I always want to encourage you to read it, you let this be first like a mirror. That it's you want it reflecting on you. I want it reflecting on me. I want it reflecting on me before I want it reflecting on you. I need to see the Bible as a mirror that God has given me and given to us, and the messages that he has for us to be serve as a mirror to show us what's in our life. So that when he shows it to us, we can respond in confession, repentance, or we can respond in joy and encouragement and praise. And when I say sifting into every area of our life, I mean every attitude we have, every affection we have, every appetite we have, every action we have. I mean, we want it to go in and let it expose our attitudes of forgiveness and love and grace and kindness, attitudes of sinful bitterness, attitudes of just sinful actions and things that are in our life. He's saying, let the word of God shine in there. Because again, no one after lighting a lamp is going to go hide the lamp. And he's reminding you again, nothing hidden is not going to become evident one day. Nothing secret's going to stay secret. It'll be known. It will come to light. Jesus is reminding his disciples of this. Thus, this responsibility, beloved, is on each one of us personally. But now also, when I look back at verse 16 and 17... I think Jesus is teaching a second way of how it is we take care and pay attention to how we listen to the Word of God. It's not just by letting it permeate and penetrate our heart and life, but also, beloved, I think from this picture that he's painting and the way he's using this proverb on this occasion, it is also we're listening rightly whenever we begin to pass it on. When we begin to proclaim that truth. Because notice what he says there in verse 16. We don't hide it under a container. We don't put a lamp that's been lit under a bed. He puts it up on a lampstand. But why is he putting it up on the lampstand? It's so that those who come in may see the light. We want them to see the light. We want them to see the truth. We want them to understand the truth. One who hears the truth, we need to then pass that truth on to others. So in this case, beloved, as I said, The first way, when you listen to the Word of God needs to be a mirror to you. But now also what I want you to see is that he's teaching us it also needs to be a window. That is, the Word of God is a window that shines in your life, but then through your life to other people. If we're listening as we're supposed to, it's going to come in and cleanse us and be building us, conforming us into the image of Christ, but it doesn't stop there. He's saying, we want to put this light, if this lamp has been lit, we want to put it up out there because we want all the others who are coming in, we want them to see the light too. This is not just for me, it's not just for us, it's for others. So the truth that we know of the gospel is not just for our salvation. The truth that we've been given for the building up and building upon the gospel is not just for us to come and sit and listen and contemplate in our rooms and never pass it on to others. And I think this is very important in light of what we learned back in verse 10. Remember what Jesus, he told them, to you, it's been granted and gifted by God for you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. To them, it hasn't been granted. I'm not giving that to them. But Jesus here is really, I think, driving home a point to his disciples is, don't think then what that means is I'm trying to create some secret society, some secret club. Only certain people need to hear the truth. No, the truth and the wisdom and the understanding Jesus gave to those men that day about salvation, about the kingdom of God, about the purposes of God, about the plan of God, that was something he would eventually want them to go out and share with others as well. It's not our job to hide it from people. If God in his plan is hiding something from someone, that's on God, and God can do whatever God wants to do. But he doesn't give us that role. Our role is now go and shine and share the light. Put the light out there so that other people can see it, other people can hear it, other people can understand it. We're there to open up the scriptures. The internal work that God's doing in somebody's heart, that's not my job. That's not your job. That's not our responsibility. That's his. Ours is to go and open up the Word of God and let the light of the gospel shine. So God's not giving us more truth and more understanding just for the sake of having more knowledge. It's not just for us, but for us to proclaim and pass it on to others. Because notice again what he says. Here's why, verse 17. Because we know nothing is hidden that will not become evident. We know this, the things that people have secrets about will be known and it will come to light. That is, we know something that no one else in the world does know. And that is, we know there is a judgment day. We know that God's coming again. We know Jesus is coming again. We know there is a judgment day where everything about everybody is going to be known. We could turn over and look at it in the book of Revelation and we would see, we know the subjects of this judgment. The unbelievers. And he noticed it will say, it doesn't matter what part of society you were, the richest and the poorest, the big guys and the little guys, it doesn't matter. They're all going to be standing before King Jesus. And we not only know the subjects, we know the standard of the judgment. We know that if they've never put their faith in Christ, we know they're found guilty. And not only that, we already know the sentence. He's told us. He's going to sentence them to an eternal lake of fire. So, beloved, since we know that everything's going to come out, We have a responsibility to let the light shine. We have a responsibility, since God has graciously given us the truth and He saved us and opened our eyes to understand the gospel, to understand His plan, to understand salvation, to understand His coming, to understand all that's what's going to happen. He's given that to us so that not just so we can have intramural debates among ourselves, and so now we go shine the light of that truth out into this world. That's how we'll know, am I listening the way God wants me to listen? We want folks coming to Christ. We want folks who are already saved to be built up in Christ. So see, we can know if we're taking heed to how we're listening. If it's being used in our life to make us truth tellers. If we're passing it on to others, if it's permeating our life and it's having an effect in every corner of our life. And again, I want to remind you that, because all of us, including myself, we can have a tendency to say, well, I don't mind the light shining here in this part of my life, and I don't mind the light shining in this part of my life, and I don't mind the light shining in this part of my life, but this part of my life over here, I kind of want to keep that to myself. So I don't want to hear, I don't want to think too much about that. I would rather keep these attitudes, I'd rather keep these affections, I'd rather keep this, my actions, what I'm doing over here. I don't like God's word getting into my kitchen here. I want to keep Him out of my kitchen. He can come into my living room. He can come into my bathroom. He can come into every other part of my house, but I don't want Him in my kitchen. And Jesus saying, no, take care how you listen. Don't start putting a container over God's word in any area of our life. But there's another way I think Jesus teaches us. It's actually in verses 19 to 21. That when we're listening, we're taking care how we're listening. It will begin to show in our life, obviously by the practicing and the prioritizing of the truth. I'm sure this event had to startle the people of that day. To be honest, I'm sure for most of us, even here today, when you read this occasion, this kind of startles you a little bit about Jesus, because here it is, His mother and His brothers show up and they want to see Him, and Jesus basically says, that's not my mother and brother. You see these people here that are listening to the Word of God? You see these who are following Me and listening to the Word of God? You see them who are actually doing the Word of God? That's my mother and that's my brother. Why did He say that? Well, you got to remember the occasion here. Mary understood who He was, but His siblings did not. And when we look over in the Gospel of Mark, we even find out the reason why they're there. They're not there to listen to Him. And they're not there definitely to do what it is He's been saying to do. They're there because they're concerned about Him. They actually think, I think our brother has lost his mind. I think he's going out of his mind. Because he's been traveling around now for 2 and 2.5 years, and there are large crowds that are happening, but things are starting to get hostile towards him. And he doesn't seem to be changing. And Jesus is trying to let this crowd and the people around him know on that day. When they say, your mother and your brother are outside and they're trying to get in to reach you, they're trying to see you. And he says, look, my mother and my brothers are those who are here listening and doing what I say. He's trying to say, this is the family of God. This is the true family here. And it's not that Jesus didn't love his mother and his brothers and his siblings. He did. He wasn't dishonoring them. He wasn't disrespecting them in any way. In fact, if you go to the end of the gospel and the end of Jesus' life, Jesus makes sure his mother's taken care of right before he dies. He makes sure there's somebody going to care for her, make sure her needs are going to be met. There was no lack of love for them. But he is here saying that when we're listening to the Word of God and the Word of God is permeating and penetrating into our life, it will begin to be practiced in our life and it will begin to change our priorities. Priorities of God's people. He's teaching his disciples. Because again, I can see them probably at this point thinking, if they could ever just get to Jesus and get to him alone, I can really imagine in my mind his brother saying, Jesus, Jesus, look. You need to back off a little bit. You need to come spend some time with us. You need to come and we'll go back home. And Mama Mary will go in and cook us some home-cooked meals, and we'll just sit and visit and talk, kind of talk through some things, think through some things. I mean, the pressure's coming in on you. But Jesus' answer was no. That's not why I'm here. Those who are listening to the Word, listening to my teachings and understanding them and doing them, that's my family. That's going to be my focus. That's going to be my priority. It's another way we'll begin to see when God's word is being listened to and how God wants us to listen to it. It starts changing our perspective. It starts changing our priorities, even in this area of our life. So, beloved, when we are receiving the Word of God as we should, carefully, it will result in us being changed in our character because it's permeating and penetrating into every area of our life. It will result in us being vessels by which the truth is being proclaimed and passed on. It will result in the practicing of the Word of God, the prioritizing of the relationships in our life, seeing the folks around us as our brothers and sisters in Christ. It'll show in our life, and it'll show, beloved, even in the life of our church, that we'll be evangelizing, prioritizing, letting it affect our lives, growing in our outreach, growing in our character, growing in our unity, growing in our love, growing in our attitudes, growing in our affections, growing in our actions, growing in our relationships with one another. That's why I say this is an important message for us as we sit and listen to the Word of God. How well are we listening? And each of us has to look to himself and herself, as I have to look to myself as well to see how well am I listening to the Word of God. But now let me just say and share with you from the end of verse 18 why this is so important for me, for you, for us. How would I say even for our nation? Because notice what Jesus says, take care how you listen. For here's the reason why. Whoever has, to him more shall be given. But whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken away from him. Think about it. Jesus says there are the haves and there's the have-nots. There are the ones who have and there are the ones who don't have. And he's saying how we are listening will play a major role and factor in how we continue to be. How things will continue to be for us personally, for us corporately, even for us as a nation. You see, to the one who has, there's no guarantee. If you don't listen properly to the Word of God, if we don't respond to what it is that we have, just think about, again, the example that we have here with Jesus and Israel at this time. We've already seen this with them. He is the light of the world, and he has come in. And what are they doing? They're trying to extinguish the light. And everything they thought they had in regards to truth and the understanding, they've lost it. Because they're in the dark and they're blind and they don't see it. And remember who Jesus is talking to here. He's talking to his disciples and he's warning them. He's lovingly warning them and teaching them. The one who has the truth. More will be given to them if that truth has them. If you're listening as you're supposed to be listening and the truth has you and the truth has them, then more will be given to them. More opportunity will be given to them. But those who don't have, those the truth really doesn't have them the way that it should. Even what they think they have. That's what's interesting to say. They think they have the truth. They think they have everything right. They think they have the truth. But again, if the truth doesn't have them, then they don't really have the truth. And even what they think they have, he can take that away too. Reminded of what Paul told the immature church at Corinth. That there was more truth he wanted to reveal to them and tell them and teach them, but he couldn't go beyond the milk to solid food because they weren't handling what they already had. You see, beloved, if we're not responsible and accountable for what God gives us, he's not obligated to give us more. He can hold it back. As Jesus warned the church at Ephesus that had all the truth you want to have, he warned them, if you don't let what you're learning begin to seep deeper and penetrate the depths of your heart and who you are and what you're doing, I'll take your lampstand away. I'll take it away. It's interesting as I thought about this. I thought about two churches that had some involvement with prior to coming here. And in those two churches, covering about the same period of time in their life of those churches, they had three preachers that came in. And those three preachers were all preaching the same thing. Three preachers in this church, the three different preachers in this church, and they were all preaching the same thing. But I saw this one church over here that the more God kept giving them through those preachers the truth and the truth and the truth, they kept resisting and resisting and resisting. And there were certain aspects of it they would take, but most of it they wouldn't. And they kept pushing back and pushing back. And now when I look over at that church, it's almost to me like God's kind of taking it away. But this other church, the same period of time, being brought the same things, were taking care how they were listening. Didn't mean they didn't struggle, didn't mean that everything went just like that, but they were willing to listen. And as they listened, they let it permeate into their life. And they let it change their thinking. They let it change their affections. They let it change them who they were. It then let them change in other areas of their life. And they wanted to pass it on to others. And I see God giving them more and more, and they keep moving forward. I think about the churches that, even at Galatia, remember when Paul said, you started so well, but yet now you're starting to want to go back under some things. And he's like, don't do that. You're cutting yourself off. It made me think of what happened to the nation of Israel, God's people, in the book of Amos, in Amos chapter 8, where God basically tells them, after years of reaching out to them and giving them the truth time and time and time again, and they would not take care and heed how they were listening to it. And then finally God says, there's going to be a famine in the land, and the famine's not going to be bread. The famine's going to be the word of God. What you had, I'll take it away. You don't want to really receive and listen to what I'm saying, I will take it away from you. This past Wednesday, we had Regan Edens with us sharing about his ministry in Scotland. And talked about probably there's 1-2% of the entire population in Scotland that would now claim to be born again. Whereas just a few hundred years ago, over 80% of the population of Scotland was going to church. They were the land of the book. And now they're the land of darkness. What they thought they had, he took it away. And yes, beloved, in some ways I see America on the fast track to that. The preaching that this nation has enjoyed for so many years. And we are moving further and further away from it. And God seems to be taking more and more of it away. But here's what I want to close with for us today. Is it starts with each one of us personally. Then it starts for us corporately as a church. And I'm asking you the question of how do you listen to what you hear in regards to the Word of God? Is it penetrating you? Is it permeating throughout your life? Are you passing it on to others? Is it being practiced and prioritizing the relationships in your life? Here's what I would say to help us with this. Some things to do. Number one, as you listen to the Word of God, I want to encourage you to ponder what you hear. That is, what you hear, go home and sometime throughout the week, listen again and think through what it is you're hearing. And do it with your Bible open. Read it again. Think about it again. Pray about it again. If you take notes, go back through your notes again. Keep pondering what it is that God is sharing. Keep thinking about it. Prayerfully talking to God about it. And as you think about it, if you want it really permeating and penetrating in your heart, here's the way I would encourage you to start. What's going on in my heart? Ask God to search your heart. And first off, let what you hear and what you listen to, what does this mean for my heart? Then what does it mean for our church and the people of our church? Then what does it mean in regards for our community? What does it mean for our society? What does it mean for the universal church? What does it mean for the world? See, we tend to want to skip the first one. What does this truth mean for my heart and my life? What does it mean for my attitudes? What does it mean for my appetites? What does it mean for my affections? What does it mean for my actions? What does it mean for that? Let it start there. And then once you ponder that and you've thought that and prayerfully considered those again, then just look to practice it. If there's sin that needs to be confessed, confess it. If there's sin that needs to be repented of, repent of it. Things need to start changing in those areas that I just mentioned, from your attitudes, your appetites, your affections, your actions, your aptitude, your understanding about things. Begin to ask God and work through that and allow Him, say, Lord, help me change in my attitude. Let me change in this way. See what, if it calls for you to deal with others, you deal with others. But then I would encourage you also, then proclaim it, pass it on. Just tell others, talk to someone about it. Share the truth with others. Maybe share what the truth is doing in your life. You see, because if we're taking care on how we listen, then I know when that light is lit for me, it's to shine in my life, but it's also to shine through my life to others. They need to hear it from me. And how you then prepare for the next time you will listen to the Word of God is by doing these things. If you're pondering, practicing, and proclaiming, if you just make that the habit and the practice of your life, then you are preparing for the next time you listen to the Word of God. And then you take that and you go and you do that as well. The more I think about it, beloved, it is very, very, very extremely difficult. If the only time we're all together thinking upon the same thing is just during this hour and an hour and a half, but the rest of the week we never give any more thought to what it is we all have heard, we all have listened to, it is very extremely difficult for our hearts and our minds to be coming together. But if we will then take the time, again, stuff you learn in a Sunday school class, stuff you learn on a Wednesday night, stuff you learn in a men's group, stuff you learn in a women's group, youth group, whatever, what we're learning here, will you just take the time, go back through some of those things, just make sure that is a part of your week as well. You're reading and listening to other things, that's great, that's fine. But this still needs to be a part of it as well. So again, I ask, how are you listening? Remember, Jesus said, take care how you listen.